Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 287, episode 3 of
Your Daily Zeitgeist,
a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Wednesday, May 17th, 2023.
Yes, big day, National Idaho Day. Also, for all y'all with the high blood pressure, especially, hey, black or brown people, blood pressure is no fucking joke. The silent killer. It's World Hypertension Day. Please check your blood pressure, because, man, I've had to recently be aware of mine. It's also National Pack Rat Day. Shout out to Pack Rat. Shout out the Cherry Cobblers, because it's your day. And also National Walnut Day.
Pack Rat Day.
Yeah. That's... Oh, and Graduation Tassel Day. I don't know why that has its own day, but must be from Big Tassel.
Yeah, just the tassels is who we're honoring today.
Do you have your tassel? Did you save any of your graduation regalia?
I don't think I had it the afternoon after I graduated. Yeah, I don't think I hung on to that. I don't think I knew until you just said that was something people did.
Well, you always see people, I mean, people who like are sentimental about that kind of shit, you know,
yeah.
Not like, I don't know, for me, I'm like, just get rid of all the evidence that ever happened.
Yeah, I still wear graduation hats just as a fashion statement. I think it's a cool look. But anyways, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. I can ride my bike with no handlebars, no handlebars, no handlebars. I didn't change this part because it's a fact about me, not to brag. Just when I ride my bike, I can ride my bike with no handlebars. No handlebars, no handlebars. Yes, it's me, Jack OB, aka Mr. Never Played No D. My thighs are thick as tree trunks, and Miles has a pair just like me. That is courtesy of Fighter of the Night Man on the Discord. Yeah, shout out to being able to ride your bike with no handlebars. Shout out to my friend who gave me the and one nickname, Obi-Wan Play No D.
Which
always appreciated. Shout out
like to Jordan
Chris.
Poole.
And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
It's Miles Gray, a.k.a. All I want to do is ride around Lambos, though I can't afford it. Puka shells on my neck like it's the early aughts, kid. I wear hats winter through summer because the hairlines lost me. When I'm ordering fries, I do like them soggy. Shout out to at Right to Post, because you know what? I love clips. I love the clips. And I love the second album, folks. Hell Hath No Fury. Very underrated.
Hell Hath No Fury, folks.
Hell Hath No Fury, folks.
It has and no fury. A lot of people are saying.
Definitely does not. But yeah, shout out to you for that deep cut. Man, that's a real clips fan right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Featuring Ab Liva. If I remember
Mine was
correctly.
By Flowbots. The song is called Handlebars, and I'd never heard it before. But gave
really?
It a shot. Yeah. Are you familiar? Wait,
Flowbots is the band that did that song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The song is called Handlebars.
Oh, I thought you said like the AKA was submitted by like someone named
yeah,
Flowbots.
Yeah, Flowbots, big fan. No, it was submitted by Fighter of the Night Man.
Oh, right. Okay, never
classic
mind.
Discord, AKA submitter. Submish. Yeah. Well, we are thrilled to be joined by a very funny podcast host, a talented rapper. My first co-host of all time in the podcast space, one of my favorite writers, actors, made some of the great videos at Cracked. I'm thrilled that he and Abe, yesterday's guest, are teaming up to make a new film called Papa Bear that you can find out about and contribute to. We will talk about that and link off to it in the footnotes. Please welcome back to the show the brilliant, the talented Michael Swain!
A.K.A. I would swallow my pride, I would choke on the rinds, but the lack thereof would leave me empty inside. I would swallow my doubt, turn it inside out, find nothing but faith in nothing. Wanna put my tender heart in a blender, watch it spin around to a beautiful oblivion. Rendezvous, then I'm through with Michael Swain.
Hey! Or am I origami?
Which is hard to fit on the birth certificate. For real.
Yeah. Yeah. But you did.
Thanks,
but
guys.
But it is what you're also known as. So
I love how, because you guys are on top of Twitter, so I'm sure you know, and are like the wider crack diaspora has kind of gotten, I think Cody, like I think they're aware of Cody and talk to them a lot, but Eve Six's official Twitter handle, they spit mad shit and they're really good at it. Like they tweet dunks a lot.
Yeah. It's always like fun. I remember like when it was, especially during the Trump administration, I was like, wait, dude, the Eve at Eve Six is out here killing it. Yeah.
I think that happened live on the show. We were like, wait, Eve Six? That can't be like actually Eve Six. Oh damn.
It is
Eve Six.
Yeah.
Flames. Michael, how are you doing?
I'm doing so well, and not in the fake podcast way. Really bad, then really good. I didn't even intend to talk about this, but I'll plug a thing because it came out Monday. I do a series called Tales from the Pit, where I usually interview people about mental health challenges. We flipped it, and Soren Bowie, our dear friend Soren Bowie, hosted and interviewed me about, I recently went through what's called an intensive outpatient program, which used to be called the Loony Bin, learned a bunch of new skills that now, I think, like, there is a honeymoon period, and I have reasonable expectations. But I'm still in the glow of, like, I feel like a mind Jedi. Like, life is just a state of mind, and I'm great. Like, ever since I went through this program, I'm great. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great to hear, man.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. IOP. I did one of those.
Yeah, you know me.
Yeah.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I did one of those, yeah. Back when I was stopping drinking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it was very beneficial. It took 2 weeks off from cracked, and, yeah. It was hard to make that initial commitment, but it was, learned a lot of life skills and one of the best things I ever did for myself.
And they actually worked. I went in really skeptical, like, my pain is so deep and unique, it won't work on me.
Yes.
Right. And other guys were like, no, it will if you give it the time. I'm at the end of the process. It totally worked. And I thought it wouldn't work. And now I'm the guy at the end going, you'd think it wouldn't work, but it did work.
Right. Yeah.
I feel good.
And some other skeptical youngin, aka could be somebody in their like 50s, but coming in all skeptical and shit. Yeah. Anyways, awesome, man. We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We're going to talk about some GOP investigations that I guess they've maybe been looking forward to. On Fox, I was not aware of them, but they're starting to bear fruit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, baby.
I mean, we're fucked. And by we're, I mean the Joe Brandon crime syndicate is fucked.
I actually didn't see this story until just now, so I'm excited to see what they've dug up for us. And then Rudy Giuliani is being sued for sexual assault and just all sorts of gruesome details, but also, you know, enlightening details about how he was thinking about his role within the Trump administration, such as admitting to selling pardons for $2 million.
On tape.
On wax. we'll talk about Paris, which is, as recently as like a decade ago, not a very bike-friendly city, even though, you know, people riding a bike with a baguette in a bag is one of the international symbols of Paris, but it was actually a very polluted, car choked city fairly recently, and is now doing great. They've cut their emissions by 20%. They've made their city way more livable. One of those happy stories that I like to check in with.
I want that.
How do I get to there?
Yeah.
But before we get to any of it, Michael, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Yeah, I had to dig back a little bit, but I discovered something and then I scared myself by going, what was that? And re-clicking it. It's the words are prisoner, fall, out. And there's this old 60s show that only ran for one season and was beloved in that time, like how some people loved Firefly as it was, you know, dying, called The Prisoner. I mainly knew it from Simpsons references, like the island is guarded by a giant plastic ball that smothers you. I knew that already.
Oh, but, I remember that from like the trippy prisoner. Episode where Homer goes on the island.
Yeah, when he's Mr. X journalist. And yeah, so anyway, that is the premise. I think it's McGowan. So anyway, the premise is just that a guy's trapped on a wacky island. It's super surreal and trippy, and he's trying to escape. And a primordial terror of mine that still shakes me to my core was one night I was really young and stayed up way too late and was watching random tapes. And I remember it was a Hi-8 tape. My dad had a Hi-8 player.
Holy shit.
Is like a thing that's not VCR, that's not like so obsolete. People have probably not heard of it.
It's not even Betamax.
Nah. Yeah, but we'd watch Rock-A-Doodle-Doo on Hi-8 and stuff. So he had this Hi-8 tape that was a documentary about great sci-fi shows, and it showed the last episode of The Prisoner. And the last episode of The Prisoner, just this out of context scene, is this guy going, I will not be stamped, spindled, or mutilated. I, and then like his face rips off and he's this gorilla monster. And I'm like 7 years old and I like shit my pants and ran out of the room. And I was fascinated with that scene forever. And I've been trying to find it forever. And I finally figured out it's the final scene of The Prisoner. So check it out. But I was always just like, what's that I monkey man that I have nightmares about? What is that?
Oh, Charles.
Yeah.
I
finally unlocked it. Mm-hmm.
Wow. We always talk about the impending conflict that we're all going to die in is World War II.
Yeah.
You're on the Daily Zeitgeist.
Right. Can't wait.
Miles Gray joke.
Wait, how come it's like a monkey bioweapon? What's going on? Like,
well,
is that a huge reveal?
You gotta understand how trippy and phoned in 60s TV was. So right. Then in the context is stupid as hell. So then he rips off the monkey face and it's his own, it's himself. And this is the mysterious evil guy that they've been milking the whole series. Who's it gonna be? It's him. And he just starts laughing and laughing. And our guy teams up with a little person butler, kills everyone with machine guns, and like gets out, and that's then.
Wow.
I don't fully understand the context, but I don't think it would make it better if I did.
Man, you didn't stick around for the important payoff,
the social
where they murder everyone with machine guns.
Thatcher,
that would have helped you so much.
Oh, as a kid, like, thank God he's dead.
Yeah. I love a good Scooby-Doo mask reveal and then second mask reveal. They're just suffering under two layers of masks.
Yeah.
And that they went through the trouble of just building a mask that would go on top of a mask that was a perfect replica of their own face that they had been wearing around.
Right. It's the Mission Impossible latex thing.
Oh, wait. So it reverted back to his original face?
Right, and then the implication, I think, is who knows who that is? Like, it's open to interpretation. It might not be, you know? They don't really dig into it.
You're like, nah, I'm playing. It's me underneath.
He beats him to death with a fire extinguisher, if I recall.
Oh, what the fuck? Okay, now I need to watch this just last episode out of context.
Oh, man. What is something you think is overrated, Michael?
Right now, all the shows that everyone loves.
Oh, come on.
I don't need to rail too hard about it, but I haven't gotten to in public yet. But I was watching Succession like everyone. And a few episodes ago, even though it's so close to the end, I just am so bored enough by it that I'm like, yeah, but it's literally not worth my time. And I just walked away. And there's been a couple like that. And I'm worried that I'm falling out of touch, as they say. But I can't stand shows without dynamics. And it's like every scene is, it's like Always Sunny in Philadelphia without jokes. And I know people have said Arrested Development without jokes. But Arrested Development was structurally complex. Succession is like, I wonder if they'll fuck them over at the end of the scene. Yeah. Or I wonder if they have nefarious intent. I wonder if they're going to end up yelling at each other, saying something horrible they can't take back. I think I had the same thing with Game of Thrones. You got to have a lot of dynamics for me.
Yeah.
I forget. I should have written more than all the shows everyone loves, because there was another one that I had a whole cracked style thesis about. But you know what? You're not my boss anymore. I don't have to do that to impress you, content dad.
Is it Barry? Did Barry lose you?
I like Barry.
I do too. Okay.
I like Barry.
Yeah, I figured you would like Barry, actually. Yeah,
and I like that. I don't know if it was fully... Oh, Ted Lasso. That's the one. Ted Lasso sucks. I always thought it has. I think it's interesting that Barry went from... Season one has the highest proportion of jokes to shit is real. And then it's right. Like smoothly. Season two is more real. I'm pretty sure Bill Hader is trying to hop permanently to... I'm going to direct like real shit now.
Yeah.
Right.
Feels like this is that transition for him. Yeah. And he's great.
This is the first time I've seen that transition. Somebody going from like TV and like directing so many TV episodes so well that I'm now just, and I think a lot of people are now like eagerly awaiting what his first film will be.
Well, if you count Jordan Peele, but it was directing sketches. It's not real as I well know.
Yeah. Like watch it. Like from Key and Peele, I wasn't then waiting for Get Out.
Hope these dudes make a movie. Yeah. Right.
Like, whoa.
Keanu?
Get Out was surprised. Yeah. You were like, whoa. Yeah.
Now I will allow you to talk shit about Succession, but Ted Lasso, I mean, that is dramaturgically, everything that happens on that is necessary, to quote Jeremy Strong.
Sure.
That show's perfect.
And there's got to be some kind of nostalgia goggles, only because I really like Bill Lawrence, the showrunner. I've looked up to him for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
I really like Scrubs.
Yeah, me too.
Even though there's like, I mean, as you get older and older, he's not immune to highly problematic shit if you go back and watch Scrubs, but I still love a lot of the techniques. A lot of modern sitcoms use the techniques he developed in Scrubs. And I don't know, maybe I'm just a sucker, but I watched Ted Lasso and I'm like, man, if this was a Scrubs, I'd be laughing out loud instead of just going, these people are nice. This is nice.
It's nice because everyone's so nice.
Yeah.
And that's why.
Hey, maybe you need that energy. More power to you.
Yeah, I'm allergic to it. I just can't. Like when I see it, I'm like, oh, it's too nice for me. Like I'm a lost cause. Don't cry for me because I'm already dead. And Ted Lasso ain't breaking through.
What is something you think is underrated?
I forget what the hell I had, but as soon as you did, no
wedding
handlebars.
Planning.
Oh, wedding planning. Fuck that. Yeah, my wedding's in 12 days. Who gives a shit? Flowbots.
More importantly,
the Flowbots, bro. They're Flo-beezies. So good. Highly slept on. They're like a rap version of Rage Against the Machine, ethos-wise. Like, all they rap about is how capitalism's bullshit. The farther we go forward in time, the more everything they say rings true. Like, Anne Braden, Rise, There's a War Going On for Your Mind. Same thing. Good Soldier. So many great songs. Really eloquent lyrics. Great flow. Like, rappers with really melodic flow. And, like, the Roots are like, I mean, I always love live band with live drums doing rap with like a horn section. You don't get that a lot.
Right.
The Flowbots are great.
Wow.
There we go. I mean, I don't think you even needed to mention that they had great flow after people heard me, my AKA, but yeah.
And they're robots.
Yeah. And they're robots.
What do you think? Wait, so, I mean, but your wedding, just to touch on that, as somebody who was married in the last year, you feel good? You're nervous?
The ring and screen, very nice.
You know,
looks good.
Yeah. Let it glisten. Let the camera catch that. But I know the feeling when you're just like less than 2 weeks out and all your, for me, all I thought about was like, how is this event going to go down? Not so much of like the marriage itself, but the actual wedding and is shit going to be where it needs to be? Are people going to like what they... And I did my head in until somebody, like a family member, was like, you look fucking tense as fuck. What you need to do is act like a guest. Don't act like a fucking host at your wedding. And that was the best advice I received in the lead up of to be able to like on the day, just put everything else out of mind and just switch to being like, I'm a guest at this wonderful thing. But are you close to feeling like that? Or is it still kind of like,
oh, yeah, I feel that entitlement. And that's great advice that I have gotten and taken to heart, because I feel like we did our work in the prep, and that we're both workaholics. So we went extra. So like the gifts for the bridal parties are pretty specific and elaborate and will be like surprising delights that took a lot of extra work. I know no one attending. I think most people attending will not hear this. No, some will. Oh, well. We shot a full like cracked caliber sketch to unveil at the wedding that we star amazing. In with
the
like,
world premiere.
Pretty ambitious special effects and a full orchestral score and shit, and had a crew out there 2 days of shooting. And some other surprises. So like we went hard and there's costume changes involved, and you know, some of the actors you helped bring up, Jack, are involved in some performance pieces happening throughout.
Amazing.
So we're doing a whole day of bullshit. And I would say on top of what I would call normal wedding planning, I mean, the sketch was like 100 hours of writing, shooting, and editing easily. So now that it's done, no, I fully feel entitled. I'm like, on the day, it's I've earned, like, I am king. You serve me now. Yeah, for sure.
I made a playlist for my wedding. That was something.
The gifts I got for my wedding party were tank tops with the local beer logo on it that I got the day before.
I know we go way too hard.
To each their own.
Aforementioned nervous breakdown. That's like the main factor is that I can't stop doing cool shit all the time.
Yeah. Hey, doing it. Keep it cool, baby.
Do they have like a program for that where they're like, all right, you're in this room with other people who just can't stop doing cool shit all the time.
Too much ice cream and you get an ice cream headache. That's the metaphor I like to use. Man, I won't lengthen it, but in the IOP, one of the last things, because you like present at the end what you've learned, I did it in the form of a rap because
I'm a
fucking nerd. And the people were like, one guy, and then they all respond like with affirmations. And one guy was like, I feel like I'm in on the ground floor of like this great talent, man. You're going to be famous. And I'm like, don't say that. That is why I'm fucking here. That fixation. That's what I'm trying to let go. That's like I just completed AA and you're like, you're going to get drunk, dude. I see it.
You're
going to
be the funnest drunk guy ever.
I can't
trying
wait.
Trying to quit Hollywood, bro.
Oh, man. I bet you'd be a blast drunk, man. We should go get a drink after this. Cool.
We'd love to get fucked up with you, man.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about some news stories.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it pop biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year. Equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
And we're back. Yeah, so this was news to me. The Republicans have been working on some investigations, eagerly anticipated investigations. I mean, I guess it's not news. They're always like, oh, man, what about Hunter Biden laptop, though?
Yeah. What about Hunter Biden?
What about? Yeah.
What about what else? What else? what about what?
Yeah, they took the mic at the open mic.
Yeah.
They took the mic at the open mic.
You already did that one.
And they're like, what about? What
else? Have you guys seen? Gavigan does Hot Pockets a lot.
So yeah, like
what'd they find, Miles? What did they unearth?
We've heard the threats, you know, in the lead up to the midterms, and then after the midterms, when they took control of the House, they're like, oh, just fucking wait, because we're gonna bring the fucking hammer down on Joe Brandon. And they said there are all kinds of reports and things about how he took money as VP and swayed foreign policy. The thing is, James Comer, of the chairman of the Oversight Committee of Kentucky, doesn't have shit. And he's doing the like investigation equivalent of when you try to rob a liquor store with a banana in your coat pocket, being like, I got that thing on me. Don't pick me. And someone's like, man, get the fuck out of my store. And that's kind of what's happening right now as the Republicans go on news. Like, people are like, even their own media is like, huh? But what's the fucking evidence, man? Like, I thought you're going to fucking embarrass this guy. They're saying stuff like, this is going to end Joe Biden's presidency.
Ooh.
So as he's been saying things, like, many people have been going around to Fox and, you know, giving little interviews. He recently confused the fuck out of a few Fox News hosts when he said he had the goods but can't show anyone yet. And then Senator Ron Johnson, he was on Maria Bartiromo's show. And then this is what he said about, like, well, like, so do you have evidence? He's like, yeah. I mean, here's the thing about evidence.
The classic legal strategy of here's the thing about evidence.
And money came from China and other adversarial countries, by the way, not just China, but going into these LLCs. And then from there, the money went from the LLCs to various Biden family members. What can you tell us about that? What were they getting paid for?
Yeah, where are the receipts?
Well, again, on the bank records, you're not going to see bribe to change this policy. You have to infer what's happening here. You have to take a look at the bulk of the evidence. You have to follow the money and realize, well, so what did this Biden family member do to earn that amount of money? I mean, that's what we did with Hunter Biden in Ukraine. I mean, what did he?
I don't know if you caught that. He just said, you have to infer what's happening here.
Right.
And then at the end of it, he's like, you're not going to necessarily get hard proof. Is how he wraps up this very long-winded soundbite. And Maria Bartiromo's like, what the fuck, man? Okay. We have another one where Comer himself goes on Fox and Friends, very friendly environment. And Steve Doocy's like, hey, man, like, you're laying this thing out about all these bribes and stuff. But evidence? And here's, again, just this very dissatisfied Fox News host.
Sources between 2015 and 2017. And your party, the Republican investigators, say that that's proof of influence peddling by Hunter and James. But that's just your suggestion. You don't actually have any facts to that point. You've got some circumstantial evidence. And the other thing is, of all those names, the one person who didn't profit is there's no evidence that Joe Biden did anything illegally.
Well, if you look at the laptop and the emails between the president's son and his associates, they went to great lengths to hide Joe's involvement.
So this like weird fucking merry-go-round has been happening for the last fucking week, where even they're like, what, you're saying that shit's going on, but you're not showing us anything that's going on. And I just have to say, this continues again. This is like never ending. Maria Bartiromo is like, hey, Comer, man, you got to come with it. Like, you're telling us about this. where the fuck are these people? You said they got people who are like can attest to this. You have whistleblowers and all this other shit. Where are they? And again, it's not a great show from James Comer.
More important potentially here, and that is this cover up. You have spoken with whistleblowers. You have spoken. You also spoke with an informant who gave you all of this information. Where is that informant today? Where are these whistleblowers?
Well, unfortunately, we can't track down the informant. We're hopeful that the informant is still there. The whistleblower knows the informant. The whistleblower is very credible. And all we're asking the FBI.
So they've now switched to, oh, man, I don't know where the whistleblower
just
went.
He's just going to the bathroom.
But they're credible.
Right.
So credible. And just lastly, I just want to wrap it up because Maria Bartiromo was just like, hold on, bro. What? You just said that the motherfucker is missing? Like, what's going on? And again, not a great answer, but it's fantastic just in the context of that this person probably doesn't exist.
Hold on a second, Congressman. Did you just say that the whistleblower or the informant is now missing?
Well, we're hopeful that we could find the informant. Now, remember, these informants are kind of in the spy business, so they don't make a habit of being seen a lot or being high profile or anything
the
like
spy
that.
Spy business.
We have basic information with respect to what the informant has alleged.
Look at her face. She's like, what is this fool saying?
That Joe Biden, when he was...
All right, anyway, so
well,
we've gone from
you
that
You can't
to-
expect, Miles, them to go on the hostile grounds of Fox News and stand up to the scrutiny that they always reserve for... Wait, no, actually, that those are the softballs. He's taking big pauses. Like, he's on delay, like he's coming to you from the Middle East or
like
something.
Like Proxima Centauri?
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
they're in the spy business, so they're not really high profile. That's not relevant, really. Like that's like asking like, well, who are these people? Then you could be like, they're not really high profile people. But to say like, where are they? And they're like, well, they're spies, so they don't really like hang out places.
Yeah.
It's like what you're saying. So it's one of the shittiest diversionary tactics I've seen because like, I mean, I think what they're really trying to do, they're running like the 2015-16 playbook all over again, where they're trying to get like a year out, get some really good scandals to stick like they would have with Hillary Clinton. But apparently they don't have misogyny on their side this time. And there's just, I don't know, they're scrambling now. And you have Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's like followed up that interview and is like, they're not missing, actually. We know where they are. And it's like, what the okay, sure.
Well, he just didn't want to tell you that because my dad's actually a cop.
Right. Yeah. What? No, he's not.
Well, speaking of misogyny on their side and people actually saying the thing that you want to catch them doing, which doesn't appear to have happened here, you know. You're just going to have to infer things on that story. On this other one, it sounds like less inference. So Rudy Giuliani is being sued for sexual assault by a former employee for $10 million over allegations of sexual assault and harassment, wage theft, and other misconduct. The plaintiff was hired in 2019 with a salary of $1 million per year, which later turned out to be a sham, and the sexual harassment and abuse began almost immediately. Rudy Giuliani, by the way, is on tap saying that he wanted her, the victim in this case, since the day he interviewed her. Just horrible, damning, gruesome details about what he did to this person. But also just, you know, recorded alcohol-drenched rants that include sexist, racist, and anti-Semitic remarks, claim that he could commit crimes because he has immunity. And admitted to selling pardons for $2 million with Trump.
Wow.
Yeah. And then they split it. They could split the money.
Yeah. Money he and Trump would split. It's just.
It's really fucking wild. I mean, like, I think he met her over Facebook and then offered this job. And it was like, it's $1 million a year. But, you know, I'm going through this really acrimonious divorce. So I can't really pay you immediately all the money. And strung her along like this. While also being like, well, since you're my assistant, you can record everything. And also, I can help represent you in a case against an ex-boyfriend that you're trying to sue who like also mistreated you, apparently. So he was like, he was going in at every angle to try and manipulate this person.
Man, a gaslighting, money laundering rapist. If he committed a public shooting, he would truly be America's mayor.
Right.
That's all of our four quadrants, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely.
They're really covering it all. Never paid her, claims because of his divorce. Specifically told her not to cooperate with the FBI. And again,
you can do that. I'm getting divorced, man. I'm sad. Yeah. No checks this week.
That's right.
But don't cooperate with the FBI either, please.
Yeah, I did not know that.
Demanded that she work naked in a bikini or in short shorts with an American flag on them that he bought for her. Over the computer, he asked her to remove her clothes on camera, often called her from his bed where he was visibly touching himself under a white sheet.
This is from a 70-page complaint, too. Yes. This is like a tip of the iceberg that I think most people are only like reporting on a fraction of everything that's in this thing.
Yes. Demanded oral sex during phone calls from high profile friends and clients because it made him, quote, feel like Bill Clinton. And if you remember that scene with him on camera pulling down his pants in Borat 2, that scene is specifically referenced in the lawsuit. And they even included a screen grab from the movie, noting that he acted in a similar manner with the plaintiff. So, yeah, it's just like...
But weirdly, it's a screen grab where Borat's 69ing with the naked fat guy on the floor of the convention hall.
Like, whoops. He's just a big Borat fan, I guess. Yeah.
Sorry, I shouldn't have left putting all the evidence in order to my wife! Bailiff, get that person out of the courtroom. Clear this courtroom.
The other thing is, too, like I said, he was representing her against like in a domestic violence suit against an ex. And he basically said, I'll pay you $300,000 if you waive your legal rights against your like abusive ex, because it's like it's messing up, like you're distracted from having sex with me.
Jesus Christ.
Like, it's fucking terrible.
Yeah.
And on top of it all, too, the other thing that's probably making like other people sweat around DC is she had access to like all of his emails.
His emails. Yeah. He was like, you're my assistant, so you have my email. You're basically my email account now.
Yeah.
Controller of my
check
email.
Check these account. Out. Oh, yeah. Maybe those will be useful for you in a lawsuit down the road. But yeah, like, I'm fucking everyone, every single Trump family member, like the Trump lawyer, Jay Sekulow, Kelly Conway, Michael Mukasey, Jeff Sessions, fucking the Ailes family, like anyone who has been in orbit of the Trumps in that administration. Yeah, got it all. Recordings, emails. So, yeah, we'll see. What's his defense, though? Is he's innocent?
Rudy's reps deny the allegations because Mayor Giuliani's lifetime of public service speaks for itself. So, I think...
yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, just seeing himself...
It speaks.
Watching him service himself in public in films.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, okay, sure. And like, there's a lot. I mean, yeah, this again, 70 fucking pages is like this complaint. And like, this is only like most, it sounds like most journalists are like, it's so fucking bad. It's like not even worth talking about. Like, aside from like the real nuts and bolts of this case, but yikes.
Also important to parse that Giuliani's lifetime of public service speaks for itself. And he will pursue all available counterclaims. I don't hear a no. It's not even no.
Not like, a denial.
That's wild. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about some more hopeful news.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts. With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
I bet you're smart.
Yeah, and you like to hold your own in the group chat.
We can help you drop even more knowledge. My name is Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Izadi. We host a daily news podcast called Post Reports.
Every weekday afternoon, Post Reports takes you inside an important and interesting story with the kind of reporting that you can only get from The Washington Post.
You can listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. Go find it now and hit follow.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity. It's designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals to help cover unexpected expenses, plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. In other words, it's like getting a paycheck for life. We'll say that again. A paycheck for life. Guaranteed. Sounds too good to be true? It's not. It's the Parity Flex annuity. And it's one more example of their commitment to creating a better financial future for women. One where they feel empowered, not excluded, and ready to take on whatever their next chapter holds. Gainbridge believes financial flexibility and security are things we all could use more of. At retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Who's with us? Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Please visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
And we're back. And there's another kind of hopeful thread from the guy. We talked before about this guy, Michael Thomas, did a thread about how the Netherlands went from being this traffic choked, it looked a lot like America. Like when you look at pictures of the Netherlands in the, 50s and 60s, they took a bunch of funding from developers and filled in like their waterways with cement to like build highways and shit. It was a real mess. And now they are known as a place that's has very low emissions and is very bike friendly and pedestrian friendly. And it can happen for cities in the modern world. And so he has another thread about Paris. And this one is actually a even more condensed timeline. All takes place basically in the last 10 years. And their strategy was basically go big on bikes. They put those free rent-a-bikes everywhere around town. Basically Bird before the tech industry, quote, revolutionized the final mile problem. They actually just put those bikes everywhere. So anybody who needed to get somewhere could just swipe and hop on a bike and get where they needed to go. They got rid of a bunch of parking in 2020. They announced they'd be removing 72% of street parking for cars to accommodate cyclists in 2020. And closed some of the biggest, like busiest roads and streets and highways and turned them into bike highways. One case, they turned it into like a bike highway and a beach. There's like on the Seine, like there used to be, or the Seine, there used to be this like big highway right alongside, and they just filled it in with sand and like a small lane for bikes. And
I love it.
Like a great place to hang out.
It looks like a mini version of like the Venice boardwalk. It's
yeah.
So strange to see it like that. But hey,
yeah,
more space for people.
Yeah. And there's just a lot of like great side-by-side pictures of like, what New York City looks like today in a lot of places, or what LA looks like all over the place. And like side-by-side with just these like great little walkable communities. And like they've already cut emissions by 20% in just like 9 years of taking these, passing this legislation. Also, every change just like makes it a less horrible place to live and also addresses like one of the issues. When I was talking about the Netherlands, people were like, well, but how are people going to get around? Like one of the things the Netherlands did was try something called car-free Sundays. People were like, that's not
people
fair
work on
to
Sundays.
Communities that like don't have access to bikes or any of that stuff. But if you put other options in place, hopefully affordable options, then it does start to seem more doable. And obviously it's not a complete like fix to the problem, but a lot of just like small changes and trying things out and disincentivizing people and businesses from building their lives and businesses and communities in a way that requires people to drive around angrily in our cars 8 hours a day can be a huge win and can have these incremental changes where everybody suddenly stops feeling like this is inescapable. A world built for cars by sentient cars. I feel like is that that's a thing that we can't even like imagine our way out of. I still like think part of the appeal of post-apocalyptic movies is that they offer the first like walkable communities most people can realistically imagine in the United States because all the cars are just gone.
Not the driving dead.
Yeah, it's not the driving dead. I'll tell you that damn much.
I think ever since we saw it happen in New York, just like in the beginning of the pandemic, I was like, LA fucking please.
Yeah.
And like you see it in some places, but it's mostly in the unincorporated parts of the city where like their small city councils can just decide unilaterally to be like, yeah, let's shut that part down. Just like a little nook over here. But God, what I would give to have like just a couple streets like where they prioritize bike traffic, it would be, oh, just it would make my fucking life.
Yeah, there's a couple around me. I'm in Emeryville, Oakland area in the Bay, and there's like a street that you can get around on with bikes. You just made me remember like way back at the beginning of the pandemic, we're like, maybe this will be the tipping point for some societal changes. Right. We need like universal healthcare or more walkable cities because people are going to be, or like if they don't go to a building, maybe we don't need those buildings. That's like,
right.
It's so funny to, to look back and realize the major changes. No, now we just hate each other about masks. And like, there's a bunch of new conspiracy theories about
right.
viral mind control and shit.
And a little work from home.
So that's my thing is I work from home all the time ever since pandemic hit and all my jobs went remote. I barely ever drive, which is nice, but I also barely ever actually have reason to go outside, which is not nice.
Right.
So I'm on the, I'll be honest, when I do get outside, I like that, like if everyone was walking or riding their bikes, I'd be like, there's too many people walking right now.
Right.
You know what I mean?
What is this, New York?
What I really want is for other people to not exist. That's what
that's
I want.
That's a real part of post-apocalyptic movies that people like. Yeah.
Or all segues, one or the other. That was supposed to do it. It was going to change the way cities were built. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
I mean, they had the, like, again, it's like the thing that Bird scooters came in and everyone was like, these are revolutionary. And it's like a lot of people have had this idea. It's just now venture capital decided to fund it in the form of these dumb scooters that people just leave all over the place. But
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, New York has the rentable bikes and stuff. It's just you need to like do that at scale and also get rid of all of the traffic that makes it so that like riding your bike around requires you to take your life into your own hands.
I feel like because in LA, the tourists like tourists, because there's Bird scooters around doesn't mean it's fucking safe for y'all.
No,
because I all the time see tourists like in the most dangerous fucking roads being like, oh, I love this town. I'm on a Bird scooter. And like people are flying by them like 40, 50 miles an hour and shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's giving the impression that there's infrastructure that would keep you safe. There's like also this like little stretch on the 110 going into downtown that I see people like ride this narrow sort of sidewalk, like right next to a freeway. And it's not, it's obviously not in the, like on the freeway, but like when I see that, I'm like, oh my God, like these people are fucking like daredevils. Like what the fuck are they doing?
Riding but a again, Bird scooter down the 405 with a map open in front of you.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, like just convert, like just start off with a couple fucking streets, like two streets per neighborhood, like that are like the main thoroughfares. Like just give us a little fucking bike action, please.
Yeah, yeah, I spent a decent amount of money on a bike for the first time in my life while I was at crack. Just because I was like, I'm only like 3.5 miles from the office. I should commute back and forth every day. Only did it for like 4 days before I seriously felt like, yeah, but if you die, what's the point of this? Like there was no every day I got going 3.5 miles. I got in multiple like people screeching, honking. There's nowhere for you to be. Or you go on the sidewalk and people shout, "You're not allowed to be on the sidewalk." Yeah. Like don't what they really the want street. Is get a car, motherfucker, is the implication.
I'm not gonna die on Cloverfield, you fuck.
But yeah, in America, it's like boring shit like the Chamber of Commerce that is secretly really powerful, or the real estate industry that, you know, even though this would be good for the real estate industry, I just feel like there are massive capital infused powers that are making it so that these things that would make everyone's lives better would help at least do a little, like maybe make a small dent in the problem with climate change and all. I think small dent in the actual, you know, it's only reduced emissions by 20%. That's still significant.
That's significant, just
9 years. But also just like mentally, like seeing a mayor come in and like make these changes in a single decade, like I feel like has to give people hope and like, you know, make it feel like there's a world where hypercapitalism and whatever gets you from one transaction to the next as quickly as possible with as little friction as possible, like that ethos doesn't have to run the world, which I think is hard to imagine for a lot of us who have like grown up in the world since like the 80s and 90s, you know?
Jack, that's why you just got to embrace the apocalypse, man, and hope that comes.
Right, right.
Because I can't imagine literally
it's easier to imagine the end of the world than the end of capitalism.
Just blow it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with, you know, it happens. It happens. Yeah.
I feel like there's two forces that have gotten us in trouble that have just gotten out of control ever since interchangeable parts were invented. We're like, oh, wow, it's amazing when shit gets more efficient. Everything should just always get more efficient until we're producing so much that shit is just spewing out of robots 24 hours a day. And then the other one is like, we all is the branding idea. Like, you know, there's great books to read about it, but Mad Men covers it fairly well. The origin of the realization that, oh, we could just sell the idea of something or package stuff. Or instead of saying this is what the product provides, we can say cool people use this product, way more effective. And then the news was like, we can do that too. So I just feel like those two impulses have really screwed us up. Like right. P.T. Barnum and interchangeable parts guy, the cotton gin guy, whoever it was.
Eli Whitney.
Yeah. But all the way through to like, right, the conveyor belt and then McDonald's. Like we've applied it to everything. How can we make this more efficient, lower cost, etc.?
Whenever you see replaceable parts, reminds me of playing Civilization. When you get to that technology in Civilization, replaceable parts for all my Sid Meier's freaks out there. But the thing I was going to say is like, I guess the only thing you could do is like maybe trick the commercial real estate industry because they're suffering right now is to be like, what if we turn the streets around all your commercial buildings into like walkable areas? So naturally people will fucking come through there because
you can at least
rent
out your bottom floor for cafes or like and stuff.
People will at least move towards there because you've created the infrastructure for people to move into that area. And maybe that will do something, but they're probably just completely, you know, I don't know. They can't be tricked.
Yeah. I mean, we had, like LA had one of the largest rail lines, like just miles and miles and miles and miles of, you know, electric rail cars at the beginning of the 20th century. And then cars and tire companies came through and had their way with it. And
we've abandoned it to the Morlocks.
Yes.
No one ever goes down there now.
That's right,
man. It's always a bummer to see like when you come across the old LA railway like infrastructure, when you're like, what the f-? Like you'll like trip over like an old fucking, you know, like piece of train track,
right?
Like,
or if you've been NYC enough, you'll see like a sign with a subway map and you'll go, oh, is some kind of New York City themed thing going on? Oh, that's right, we have a subway, never mind.
That's right. Well, Michael, what a pleasure having you on the show.
Always. Thank you.
Where can people find you, follow you, and find out more about Papa Bear?
Yeah. I refrain from name dropping it so far, but I'm working on a film called Papa Bear based on the hilarious, poignant true story of when my dad came out as a gay furry when I was 17. Fun fact, His real persona is Cyber Bear, a cybernetically enhanced bear. Oh. But as screenwriters, we thought that was like a hat on a hat. Like real life, that's too many elements, right?
No one's going to believe that.
But the goal, beyond just exploding some myths about furry fandom and having an actually like positive representation of that community, it's not a niche movie only for furs. It's like a poignant coming of age comedy. We're inspired by stuff like Eighth Grade, Lady Bird, Booksmart, stuff like that. If you like those, if you like our work at Cracked, by us, I mean me and Abe Epperson, who sort of like forged the look of Cracked videos all the way from the scrappy stuff to the high value stuff. Yeah. And we're trying to do it again. Oh, also, we have a pre-existing movie called Kill Me Now, which you could watch in its entirety on YouTube. And I only mention that because if all those things make you go, oh, yeah, these guys could make a movie. This looks good.
They've made one.
Yeah, and go check us out. Yeah. At seedandspark.com/fund/papa-bear learn all about the project. At the lowest tier, you can just give us like $15 and it's just like buying a ticket, right? When the movie's done, we'll send it to you to watch. And then it goes up from there.
Yeah.
Or you can follow me on Twitter at swaim_corp and I'll keep you apprised.
Yeah.
Appraised? Well,
that link will be in the show notes.
Oh, right.
So if you just like open the damn app that you're listening to it
on, look at
the episode description, you will find.
I wonder what the click through is on people who read the show notes in their app and click a link.
Yeah.
We're gonna see it, aren't we? It's big. I bet it's good.
Unbelievably high. Is there a work of media that you've been enjoying?
Oh, media. Oh, I will say. I wanted to say this in Act One, but I didn't find a good spot to slip it in. But I think Comer, whoever we were talking about, the pundit in Act One, is still doing good work from his point of view in the sense that it is a marketing thing. It's just about repetition. It's the Coca-Cola version of it doesn't matter if the follow through is, and it's not true. And here's why. You said it 1,000 times. And that leads me to a piece of media I'm liking, which is Foundation. I'm a big hard sci-fi nerd, if you are as well. And if you watch The Expanse and you're like, this is good, but not scratching that itch of like very intellectual sci-fi, Foundation is super good. And there's a character named Empire in that who says a line related to this, which is they're like, but that's not true. And he's like, but we'll just have every galactic news source repeat it until the air is made of it and there's nothing else to breathe.
There you go.
Good line. Yeah,
that's
Foundation.
Really good. Wow. Miles, where can people find you? Is there work of media you've been enjoying?
You can find me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. I haven't posted it. Anyway, at Miles of Gray, if there's at symbols, as I usually say. Follow Jack and I on our basketball podcast, Miles and Jack on Matt Boosties, where you can hear, at least we're going to recap Game 1, Western Conference Finals, by the next episode. And also check me out on 420 Day Fiancé with Sophia Alexandra, where we talk about 90 Day and Love is Blind, but really high, if that makes it any different for you. This is a tweet from Iffy, at Iffy Wadiway. He just quoted you, someone took a picture of like a Mickey Mouse thing with like the Viewmaster Mickey Mouse, you know, toy. And he put, yes, dissociation training wheels. Those were the days.
Amazing.
And yeah, man, the amount of time I remember there was one I had of just like California landmarks. And I would just look at the Golden Gate. Like I would lay on my back, just look into the sun and just take it in.
Well, your parents are just screaming at each other in the background.
Yeah.
Fades into just seagulls. That's all you hear.
They're I never loved you. And I'm like, click. And I'm at the Golden Gate Bridge.
I just saw that dude and Tim Meadows and Carl Tart do improv. They're fantastic.
Yeah. What a crew. Tweet I've been enjoying. Furby Hancock tweeted, processed food was literally designed for you to eat. Organic is just some crap they found on the ground somewhere. Just good. Good nutrition advice, but I think that is how my brain worked for a large portion of my adult life. It was like, well, the scientists have approved this with all their technology. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what is a song that you think people might enjoy?
I think, you know, since we were talking about just rapping bars and things like that, Bars Simpson is the track that we're going to go out on by Sonny Jim, MF Doom, J Electronica. Just a great, good old rap song. But I love when anyone makes a Simpsons reference. And like the album art is fantastic. It's like got Homer just like on his back drunk, and the album's called White Girl Wasted. But anyway, check out this track, Bars Simpson. Sonny Jim, MF Doom, J Electronica. Put all it through right. your speakers.
Well, the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid Kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.